I got to tell you, I started reading this week, and this is chapter 3. So it's we started in September, and now it's February, and we're in chapter 3. So it's taken that long to go through two chapters. But this chapter, remember the first one was who Jesus is and who I am in him. Second one is what he's done for me. And then this third one is what he's done in me. That's what this whole chapter is about. But when you start reading this, and it's like some of this we've already gone over, and it's like, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm not getting anything from this. And so a lot of times, you know, remember we talked about the word without the spirit, you dry up, and the spirit without the word, you blow up, and the spirit and the word, you grow up. And so you just kind of sometimes have to just read it and say, Lord, show me. Holy Spirit, please give illumination. So he did. Just got to take some time. And that's why we don't go into commentaries and get somebody else's viewpoint. You just ask the Lord for something fresh. So this one is, in the midst of these first eight verses, there's three titles that Paul has, and I thought, you know, there's three titles and three testimonies, as we were talking about testimonies. So chapter 3 is a summary to acquaint the Gentiles with their call. That's basically what this whole chapter is going to be about. So let me read the first eight verses, and then we'll go through this. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace has been given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So did you pick three titles out of there? Well, yeah, you did, because I told you before. First of all, we start with, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. So there's your first title. How would you like to start off with that, being a prisoner? And when you think of the word prisoner, you think of what? Confined, constrained, normally used for punishment. Okay, somebody's a prisoner. A galley slave that's chained to the bottom of a boat that's rowing. Doesn't sound too, like, sign me up for that. I'll take an extra dose of that. No way. But Paul is the Lord's slave, the Lord's prisoner. That's a little different. There's no safer place to be in the center of his will. I remember when we were at Beaverton Foursquare, Don Richards was speaking. He wrote The Peace Child. Okay, and he and his wife were in the Amazon jungles. Their kids were being watched in a mission school, and they were in the middle of the Amazon jungles. And somebody asked her, because they were having a question and answer, how could you, you know, go into the Amazon jungles? And she said, I never had more peace than when I was going down that boat on the Amazon River, because I knew that that's where God wanted us to be. Because we look at it like the Amazon and pythons and snakes and, you know, lions and tigers and bears, you know. That's right. There's no safer place to be than in the middle of God's will. So, you know, the Lord's slave is in the center of his will. That's what Paul says. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And he's not pulling rank here. He's not the right reverend grand apostle with glittering diamond rings. Sorry, he's not pulling rank here. He's saying, I'm a prisoner. So it's a descriptive of a character and a class to which he belongs. So who is he a prisoner on behalf of? The Gentiles. Yeah, remember we talked about the Gentiles? The Jews looked at the Gentiles like they were dogs, right? So he's on behalf of the Gentiles. Acts 21:21 talks about that, and 22:21 talks about that, that he's a prisoner on behalf of the Gentiles. So I think it's really funny, though, because Paul is what? A Pharisee of Pharisees, right? He's a Jew. He knows the law, and the Lord sends him to the Gentiles. You would think he'd send him to the Jews, because he could debate them real well. Peter is a Jewish fisherman who's illiterate, and the Lord calls him to the Jewish religious leaders. Isn't that interesting? So, it's like God takes the foolish things of man and brings to bring him glory. You know, we would say, so-and-so and so-and-so, and they have these degrees, and they have these certificates and everything, and it's like, the Lord's like, no, sorry. Just like when David was picked from all of his brothers. You know, oh, that one looks good. Well, he's tall. Wow. You know, he's like Conan the barbarian, you know. And Samuel said, nope, all the way down to, where's that? Oh, that's right. We got that kid out in the back 40 watching the sheep, that ruddy little kid. Come here. And that was the one. So God looks at the heart. Now, remember the word dispensation? Also, it says here, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. We always thought about the dispensational periods. That's not what it means. It means the, remember the picture of the lady in the 50s with all the laundry and the dishes that we handed out? Yeah, you remember that, right? That means the menstruation, the administration over one's household. So that's what he is. He says, you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So this grace is part of being a prisoner. I want you to keep track of that, because this word grace keeps coming up as part of these titles. Grace given by revelation. And revelation means it's uncovered of a precious gift that God had brought to people who understood by a spirit-taught believer. Okay? So that you can critically understand and apprehend it. You have to understand it. You just can't listen to it. Remember we talked about if you just listen to a lecture, you keep maybe 5%, depending if the teacher's, you know, entertaining or not. So, yeah, Torrance says amen. So, let me just give you a little sentence here. You can't teach beyond what you don't know. You can't know what you don't learn. You can't learn what you don't do. And you can't do what you're not taught. Circular. Let me go over again. You can't teach what beyond what you don't know. You can't know what you don't learn. You cannot learn what you don't do. And you can't do what you're not taught. That's why, like, even learning on Wednesday nights, you got to go out and do. You know, we teach people about the emotional mind, the rational mind, and the wisdom mind. You know, the emotional mind is your constant, you know, how you interact with the world based on emotions and feelings. Some people get stuck there. Then some people get into the rational mind, and they analyze it, and they go over it, and they reason about it. But the wisdom mind is, what do you do with it? Instead of just sit there, what are you going to do about it? So, what is Paul's teaching? What is he teaching about? Well, it says here, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So his whole teaching is the mystery of Christ. And it's a long hidden purpose of God that regards the redemption by his Son. That's what his teaching is. It's called the mystery. Mystery of Christ. So Paul spent 3 years in Arabia being instructed, Galatians 1:17-2:1. And then he spent 14 years preaching Christ with Barnabas and Titus. That's in Galatians also. Then he went on 3 missionary journeys planting churches. Then he went encouraging believers and writing 2/3 of the New Testament. That was what he did. So the 3 main issues, when he would preach, these are the 3 main issues that he would preach about, okay? The first one was the revelation that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. Right? He kept going back to the Old Testament. This is the Messiah. This is what they were talking about. This is who he was. So the revelation that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Second thing is, that he's talking about now, is that the Gentiles were fellow heirs with the Jews, which was unheard of, because there was that wall of separation like we talked about in the last chapter. And then the third thing was that the church is Christ's body formed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The church is Christ's body. And it's 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. So that's his three things. That's what he's preaching about. And like Tony says about the bearing testimony, you know, they overcome him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony, this testifying about Christ. That he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's talking about the Gentiles being fellow heirs with the Jews and the church being Christ's body. Those three things. Okay, so you got one title, is a prisoner. All right, let's read on and let's see another title here. Okay, so I'll pick up in verse 4 there. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister. Second title. So now you go from prisoner to a minister. So what does that mean, minister? Well, it's from the same word for servant or deacon, where we get the word deacon from, being a servant. And it's displays in activities. You know, how do you know somebody's a servant? Just watch. Just watch. If somebody's helping out, putting things up, collecting chairs, driving a meal to somebody, they're a servant. So Paul says that he's a minister or a servant, to wait on a master. That's what a servant does. Like Tony was saying, you don't even lift your face up until they tell you to do something. That's a servant. To wait on a master, attend to his wishes. And how does he become a servant or a minister? Come on, you can read. I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the what? Effective working of his power. Is it something that he just goes up and, you know, he got his credentials and he just shows it to everybody? No. It says here he didn't earn it. He had no entitlement. He didn't claim it. It's a gift of grace. So again, minister is tied to the word grace. Same thing with the prisoner is tied to the word grace. So this gift of grace, this is what this gift of grace did. And he knows more than anybody. Is it transforms Saul, the persecutor, to Paul, the apostle. And that's why everybody was amazed, because this guy was, you know, he's killing Christians. A minister, this is what a minister does, I think, facilitates a transformation of an encounter with Christ to transform a sinner into a saint. All we are is a conduit. We're just a hose. You're just a hose. Yes, I know. I'm going to tell them about the House of Hoes. I already did once before. When we were in Salt Lake City, there was a place called the House of Hoes, and you can literally go and get all kinds of hoses, all the way from probably straw size to big fire hoses. It's House of Hoes. Yeah. So, how big is your hose? That's why we have her sit over there. Sit over there. No, really. You know, are you like a fire hose that the power of God and the Spirit of God can just flow out? Maybe knock people over. I don't know. Are you like a little garden hose, you know, that you sprinkle and water plants? I mean, what, you know, you're a hose. What size hose are you? According to the power that works within you. We'll get to that. And that really does mean according to the power that works within you. Remember clogged arteries? See pictures of clogged arteries, right? And the blood can't get through it? Maybe we need to have a little rotor rooter through each one of us. Open up those hoses. Let the blood of Christ flow through you. But that's what a minister does. It facilitates a transformation of an encounter with Christ. We don't do anything. We don't save anybody. We tell them, one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Right? That's what you're doing. And to transform a sinner into a saint. Not wave a magic wand over them or perform, you know, miracles and stuff. All you are is a hose. Isn't that nice? We just have a little button. I'm a fire hose. I'm a this hose. So, there's another title, a minister. And it's by what? The gift of the grace of God, right? Third title. And it says here, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Title 3, saint. Remember we talk about this. You're either a saint or an ain't. There's no middle ground. Saint or an ain't. Not what we envision today with halos and venerating and worshiping body parts from some saint with candles lit. That's not a saint. And literally, in the Greek, this is what it means, and I have to make sure I say these words correctly. He says, I'm more least, that's kind of an oxymoron, but I'm more least than all the saints. I am less than the least of these. Paul, the big kahuna, says, I am the least of all the saints because I was a persecutor. And yet God did the most with him than any of the apostles, really. So I'm more least than all the saints. Paul counted himself unworthy to receive such a gift due to his persecution of the believers. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15:9, if you want to put that down. And also 2 Corinthians 12:11, you can put that down. So he's a saint, but he's the least of them. But he's a saint. Okay? Are you a saint or a sinner? Thank you. You're a sinner saved by grace, and you're a saint who still occasionally sins. That's just the way we are. You know, we're both. And it says here that why did he become a minister? What's this grace was given that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? The unsearchable riches of Christ. This is what is unsearchable about Christ. That which he is. So his person, that which he has, the gifts that he gives out. And that word literally means unfathomable. When you think of unfathomable, what do you think of? You know, depth, fathom, ocean, how deep? Yeah, universe, right? Past finding out, you can't be comprehended by men. Now, Steve gave me this book on the heaven declares the glory of God, and it's the Hubble telescope, right? And when you open it, you just look at these things, you know, like here's the, what is this? Here it is. Okay. It's dark pillars, actually columns of interstellar hydrogen gas. And it looks like horses' heads. I mean, it's just amazing. All the pictures in here that the Hubble telescope picks up. This is unfathomable. You can't even comprehend this stuff. And yet, when God made the universe, and he says that he made the stars also like an afterthought, and he made them with his fingertips, that means he just went like this. I'll pass it around. You can look at them. It's amazing. That is unfathomable. That's what it means to be past finding out and not being even to be comprehended by men. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, I am preaching to the among the Gentiles the unsearchable or the unfathomable riches of Christ, all that he has for us. You know, when you go through a book like this, I mean, I've been memorizing this book for years. But when you stop and you look and you really contemplate like what he's done and who he is, it's like really amazing. Because you could just spit the words out, you know, memorize it and spit the words out. But really, what do they really mean? So what I did is, you know, I wrote on the board again so you can write these down here. So basically, That's all right. So he's got the three titles and the three testimonies. Paul the prisoner, Paul the minister, and Paul the saint. The prisoner. Now, listen to this. The prisoner preaches grace. Who best to understand grace than a prisoner? Right? Because he's constrained and he's, you know, he's like in chains even. Constrained within the confines of his master's benevolence. So a prisoner is really a person who understands grace. A minister, he said he was a minister by God's grace. How best can one fulfill their destiny except through the grace given to perform their duties? You know, a lot of times we struggle and struggle and struggle. And I think a lot of times we end up doing ministry out of the flesh. And that's why it's so hard. And it's like the illustration of being on a bicycle and going up the hills in San Francisco. Anybody been to those hills in San Francisco that are like, you know, straight up? And yet, if you're riding a bike and you just reach out and touch and hold one of the trolleys, right up the street. That's what it means by ministering by God's grace. Because you're able to perform the duties that he's called to you by his power, not by your own power. And then the third thing, the saints, who best to experience God's grace? What best describes God's grace except through experiencing it for yourself and sharing the experience with others? So a prisoner preaches God's grace, the minister does his duties by God's grace, and the saints experience God's grace and share them with others. And that's why every one of them have grace attached to the title. It's amazing. I didn't put it there. The Holy Spirit put it there. By grace, by grace, by grace. So I don't know if you have grace because you feel like you're a prisoner and you're just in prison and you're in shackles and you can't, you're constrained and, you know, gosh, what are you doing with me, Lord? Did you put me on the shelf? God's got grace for you. Or maybe you're ministering. You know, this church is amazing. It's got 5 licensed and ordained ministers in our midst. Out of our little group. I don't know why. He's going to show us why. But maybe, you know, we need to have ministry by God's grace and not keep doing it, you know, weary. We have to enter into his grace and be like the bicyclist and hold on to the trolley and go up the street. And then you're all saints, you know. Saints experience God's grace and by the things that you experience and share with others. And maybe it's time to share that with some ain'ts. You can sit on the max and say, are you an ain't? What? Well, I'm a saint. Okay. Are you a saint or an ain't? What does that mean? Yeah, that'll win friends and influence people, won't it? Sure. And so maybe you sometimes feel like you're an ain't, or you slip back and forth between a saint and ain't, but you're a saint who still occasionally sins, and a sinner saved by grace. All right, that's what I got out of the first 8 verses. So it's like you put your Bibles aside. And we'll continue on in Ephesians. So let's pray. And then, Paul, can you pass those baskets around and we'll take some tithes and offerings and pray that the Lord would bless it and expand it. Father, I just want to thank you for showing me something out of those 9 verses. When I first read it, I was like, Lord, what is in here? But Lord, your word is sharp and alive. And so help us to be sharp and alive when we read it. And Lord, we do pray that, you know, there's some times that we feel like a prisoner, Lord, that we're constrained and we're confined, and yet we're the Lord's prisoner. So we have a benevolent master. Help us, Lord, to understand the grace, because a prisoner of anybody understands the grace of his master. And Lord, also as a minister, that we do that by God's grace, that we don't do it out of our own flesh and get ourselves all wearied and get to the point where we just feel like we're just burned out. Lord, help us to go back to the fountain. I know the old little saying, get under the spout where the glory comes out. But sometimes we just got to sit, soak in your grace. And then, Lord, we're all saints, and we experience God's grace, and we share those experiences with others so that they might have hope. And so give us some divine appointments this week so that we can share God's grace with others. And Lord, thank you that this is not something that we can comprehend, that it is unfathomable, just like those other Hubble telescope pictures, Lord. It is just beyond our comprehension. And thank you that your riches are unsearchable and unfathomable, and that we get to preach those to people. And Lord, we just ask you to bless our tithes and offerings, and thank you for this church, and thank you for the grace that we have here at this little building. And Lord, we do pray for those that aren't with us today, and there are many for various reasons. But we do pray that you just cover them this week, and that we, you know, write them or call them and check in on them. In Jesus' name, amen.